We've been going to the Virginia Arts Festival for years, and this show is from our latest visit. The cello-violin duo you'll hear is made up of two brothers local to the area. They're such easygoing guys, and they make great music together. Also, check out the 11-year-old pianist. He's shy, but not at the keyboard. It's Christopher O'Reilly, and that's some of the good stuff on this podcast. Have fun.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, one of America's finest concert pianists, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thank you and welcome. Today we're coming to you from the Attucks Theater in Norfolk, Virginia, named after the African-American Crispus Attucks, the first patriot to lose his life in the Boston Massacre. This place was once known as the Apollo Theater of the South. Bessie Smith, Duke Ellington, and Nat King Cole all performed here. But we wouldn't be in this very historic theater without the help of our host, the Virginia Arts Festival, a world-class performing arts series that presents 2 months of music and dance each spring for the people of the Hampton Roads region of Virginia. So what better way to start off this show than by hearing the outstanding musicianship of two brothers from nearby Newport News? This is Brendan Elliott, 19-year-old violinist, and Sterling Elliott, 14-year-old cellist, performing the Passacaglia on a theme by Handel by Johann Halvorsen.
Thank you.
Brendan Elliott, 19-year-old violinist, and his little brother, Sterling, 14-year-old cellist from nearby Newport News, Virginia, performing the Handel Halvorsen Passacaglia. Wow, you guys, I've heard that piece before, but I think I'm going to make it requisite that it only be played by brothers from now on. That was just such a fantastic performance by you guys. Hey, some important and impressive information for our audience. Brendan here just finished his second year at the Curtis Institute of Music, and Sterling is this year's winner of the junior division of the Sphinx competition. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sterling, I know because of the Sphinx win, you're performing now a lot with orchestras, but you also scored a pretty wonderful masterclass recently.
Yeah, about almost a month ago, I went to Michigan to play a masterclass with Yo-Yo Ma. Oh.
So what was that? What do you take away from that?
He gave me a lot of advice. I definitely wasn't expecting it. A lot of people told me that he was really down to earth, but I cannot even explain how, like, normal and just... It was just talking to, like, your old friend. It was awesome.
We had him on the show once, and he was at music rehearsal and finished the piece that he was doing, and he was asking all the parents and kids for advice, like, what he should do with the piece. Very down to earth.
Yeah.
So, even though Brendan is off at conservatory, you two remain quite close as brothers.
He ain't heavy. He's my brother.
One great thing about being brothers is having somebody to be stupid with. What does that look like for the two of you, Brendan?
Well, I would say that oftentimes after a long day of practice and video games, that we will make some mac and cheese, chicken sandwiches, and just sit down and watch SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, SpongeBob. Very chill. But brothers sometimes don't get along, especially, I figure, before Brendan left for Curtis. What were the issues, Sterling? What would he do to you?
Well, it wasn't necessarily fights. Sometimes it just... kind of have an accident.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say oftentimes when you have a brother that's half your size, injuries do occur. Probably the most strong memory for me is when I was about 6 and he would be about 1 year old. We played with Hot Wheels, and I put a little bit too much spin on my Hot Wheel, and I rammed it into his finger, and he started bawling. And I tried to get him to calm down, but my parents walked right in the room, and they see the little kid crying, and the big kid trying to calm him down and act like nothing happened, grounded all night.
Oh, gosh. Well, you guys get along great now. Now, of course, as brothers, you have a common bond in your mom. Tell everybody about her.
Yeah, I mean... it's different for Brendan since he's away, but for me, I still get to see the good and the bad side of her.
She's a musician as well, and you guys play together a lot,
yeah,
I guess.
She definitely gives me a lot of pointers when I play music, and sometimes I don't agree with all of them, but I'm sure they're all right.
Yes, I mean, she's definitely a huge influence on us and our playing. Very, very hands-on teacher, as you can imagine. But we have a great time playing with her in our family quartet, and I mean, just music in general. And she does a great job balancing being a parent and a musician with us at the same time.
Yeah, you must, being away at Curtis, you must miss her, and gives you some kind of perspective about the great music making you were making here right at home.
Yeah.
So great to be able to bring you back home to make that beautiful music. Thanks, guys. We love you. Brendan Elliott, 19 years old, and Sterling Elliott, 14, from Newport News, Virginia.
Brendan and Sterling perform with such an obvious sense of connection, you'd think they were brothers. You can check out a video of the Elliott brothers and all of the performers on today's show at fromthetop.org. Chris.
And now another fine, and this time very young, musician from Virginia, from just north of here in Yorktown. Please welcome 11-year-old Kyle Hu. Kyle. Welcome. Tell everyone what you're going to play.
I'm going to be playing the third movement to Mozart's 12th piano sonata.
Okay, the stage is yours.
Thank you.
Kyle Hu, 11 years old, from Yorktown, Virginia, performing the third movement of the Mozart Sonata, number 12, in F. The young violinist up next on the show has grown up with parents who are both professional musicians, as have many of the performers who have appeared on this program. The music director of the New York Philharmonic, Alan Gilbert, grew up with parents who were both members of the orchestra he now conducts. His mom still watches him from the violin section. I asked him about growing up with musical parents. Alan, we've had quite a few kids on our show who, like you, come from musical families, and we've been told it can be both a blessing and a curse. How was it for you as a teenager with your parents playing music?
The thing that I think was a blessing was that music was a way of life. In a sense, in the best sense, it wasn't even a choice. It was just something that existed. And I always think of what Leonard Bernstein said to people who were facing the decision of whether to really go for it and pursue music as a profession. If you have to ask the question, should I be a musician? Then by definition, the answer is no.
Right.
And essentially, the decision to be a musician made itself. And that, I think, came a lot from the experience of watching my parents do what they do. They, you know, on the one hand, were not sort of overtly pushing me, but at the same time, they had extremely high standards. So there was this kind of expectation that was inescapable. But at the end of the day, I appreciate that they weren't overly aggressive, at least in an obvious way. Maybe there was a kind of passive aggressive thing going on, but that's a story for, you know, my therapist.
That's deeper, yes. And I know you've said that having your parents in the orchestra has helped you inform your approach as a conductor. I mean, so a lot of times we have conductors who are very, you know, well prepared, but really don't know the psychology of the orchestra musician and know how to deal with them. Do you feel that that's been a big part of your training and preparation as a conductor?
I think it's really important to really have a very strong identity and understanding of how orchestra musicians think and feel and what motivates them and what they need and what disturbs. I'm teaching now, conducting at Juilliard, and that's one of the hardest things to teach, how to sort of have an innate understanding of kind of an EQ, an emotional quotient kind of understanding of the chemistry and the contact between a conductor and the orchestra. And I guess being around the New York Philharmonic and having my parents, you know, can't have hurt as far as that goes.
Yeah. Well, the proof is in the pudding and your connection and commitment and conviction and love of the music that you perform, Alan. And would you do us the honor of introducing our next young performer?
With pleasure. And now I'd like to introduce a fellow New Yorker. From up in the Bronx, please welcome 15-year-old violinist Alyssa Morey.
Alyssa, tell everyone what we're going to play together.
We're playing the last movement of a sonata by Saint-Saëns.
Alyssa Morey, 15-year-old violinist from the Bronx, New York, playing Allegro Moderato from the Saint-Saëns first sonata for violin and piano. Alyssa is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. I just love playing that with you. That's so exciting, Alyssa. So exciting playing that with you. I want to mention that our full interview with Alan Gilbert can be found on our website, fromthetop.org. Kind of cool to have Alan Gilbert introduce you, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Pretty nice.
It's like an audition.
Yeah. I think you passed with flying colors, I'd say.
Yay.
Yay.
Brighter
it
future
makes
for me.
It makes me think of a scene you were in on NBC television, actually. But to get to that scene, you have to tell everybody what I'm talking about. What show?
So I was on Believe on NBC. Some of you might know. So I got the role through my father, and he knew someone who knew what's going on in the casting department. Someone was before me, but he was on a working visa. He was on a student visa, so he couldn't get a worker's permit. So they needed an emergency alternative, and they were looking for a teenage violinist. And looky here, what do I have? Yeah, so in my audition, I played a Dvorak concerto in A minor for them, and I acted a little bit.
I heard it was a stretch for you because you had to play somebody shy and
yeah.
Very retiring. And
I know. Yeah. Not me.
Not you. You're actually very good in the part. Here's an early scene where 11-year-old Beau Adams, that's the main character who has extraordinary mental powers, is trying to come along with your family on the way to a recital in order to intervene in what she's had a premonition will be a fatal car accident.
Hi! Can I come?
Where's your dad?
Oh, he's at home. He said if it's okay with you guys, I can come hear you play.
No, it'll be a distraction.
Honey, come on.
I want Beau to come. I've never had any friends see me play.
You know what? Maybe another time it'll be a good idea, but not right now.
Why don't you get it? It doesn't matter how much I practice, how many hours I do my scales, how accurate my fingering is. It doesn't mean anything if I can't play for somebody.
Play for someone?
That's all I want.
All right, let's go.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. So going back to where we actually started, why does your guest appearance on Believe make me think of Alan Gilbert?
So there was one scene. So this fatal car accident that Beau Adams foreshadows is actually the other car happened to be the car of a conductor of the New York Philharmonic.
Ah, so
yeah.
So Beau sort of saves the day, and,
yeah.
And what happens?
And
with...
then, so he sees my violin case that I was holding, and he goes, "Do you play the violin?" And I say, "Yes." And so he gives me his business card, and he's like, "Why don't you call me too? I'll hit you up with a job."
And sometimes he's the conductor of the New York Philharmonic.
Yeah.
Wow. Not Alan Gilbert, but an incredible simulation.
Yeah.
Excellent. Hey, I mentioned that you're a From the Top Jack Kent Cook Young Artist, but you are also a member of the Jack Kent Cook Young Scholars Program, which is a very different thing. Talk about that.
Well, it is a scholarship program for students, kids with financial needs across this country. And it's helped me a lot, both emotionally and financially, for our family as I said, a family with financial needs. And, you know, they fund me for Julia Pre-College that I go to and the Ethical Culture Fieldston School, which Mr. Gilbert happened to go, yeah. Happened to have went. And I also go to the Aspen Music Festival during the summer, and you know they've covered a lot for me. And I also have an educational advisor who helps me emotionally and you know, supports me with everything. She's like another mom.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It sounds like it's not just a scholarship. I mean, the Young Scholars Program is a real long-term commitment.
Yeah.
And they're following you through and helping you with everything. That's just fantastic. Well, well-deserved. Absolutely. And we wish you all the best, Alyssa. Beautiful performance.
Thank you.
Alyssa Morey, 15 years old, from the Bronx, New York.
Our own Christopher O'Reilly has just recorded Liszt's virtuoso piano transcriptions of music by Berlioz, Mozart, Schubert, Schumann, and Wagner. O'Reilly's Liszt is out on CD or Blu-ray on Oxingale Records. More information at oxingale.com.
Support for From the Top comes from this and other radio stations, and from U.S. Trust, who believes that the arts play a vital role in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians, as well as NPR listeners. From New England Conservatory of Music, where young artists and teachers are committed to transforming classical music, online at necmusic.edu. And from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, whose mission is to advance the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. This is NPR.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from the Attucks Theater in Norfolk, Virginia. Coming up, the overture to Rossini's Barber of Seville, performed in a rather unusual fashion by a local teenage steel drum ensemble. Today's show at the Virginia Arts Festival is co-presented by seven venues and WHRO and supported in part by the Norfolk Consortium. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. We've got a wonderful 17-year-old soprano up next. Her name is Emily Pogoreltz, and she joins us from Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin, just north of Milwaukee. Emily, while I head over to the piano, tell everyone what you're singing and a little bit about what's going on in this aria. We've never had this one on the show before.
Of course. Today I'm going to be singing Kommt ein schlanker Bursch gegangen from von Weber's Opera Der Freischütz. And in this aria, Ännchen is trying to cheer her cousin up by telling her a story of a courtship between a young woman and a young man, eventually leading to marriage and how she would like to be a bride herself.
Gleicher Blüten führt nur noch ein wenig Rot.
Pogorelz, 17-year-old soprano from Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin, singing Kommt ein schlanker Bursch gegangen when a slim youth walks by from Der Freischütz by Karl Maria von Weber. Oh, you sing that piece so beautifully.
Thank you.
And it's such a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern moment in the opera. It has nothing to do with the plot of the opera.
It's very true. That character is very like that.
It just had to be in there. It's just too great to pass up. Mm. And just such a great performance. Hey, no high E in that piece, but you have a wonderful story about the first time you hit that difficult note, especially difficult for a teenager. When was that and where was that?
Yes, this was about a year and a half ago. I got asked to do a concert in Chicago, and I thought really nothing of it. I thought, hey, this would be a nice opportunity to try this out. My coach had written me two alternative endings to the piece besides the one with the high E, so I figured I might as well give it a shot. And this piece was not easy to get through. It was 12 pages long, so it was difficult to get there and get to the high E, but I thought I'd just try it for fun. So I practiced it with my accompanist, and we got there, and yeah, the whole hall was filled with people, excellent performers, and not only that, but we were downtown Chicago, we're under a beautiful Tiffany glass dome, so it was a little bit crazy, and I was regretting it a little bit until I got on stage, got to the piece, grounded myself and sang it, and the look of shock on my face was priceless.
I understand. There was video of it. I mean, so this beautiful high E comes out of you, but you looked surprised, apparently.
I was really surprised.
Shocked. Well, you've practiced hard to have that sort of range at such a young age, but Emily, you have a refreshing perspective on your hours of practicing.
Yes. Well, as much as I like to pound out things on the piano multiple times over and over again for hours, I find it very refreshing to plunk something out once or twice and then step away from the piano and just think about it for a while, just to mull it over my mind. And I find that when I do that, when I return to the piece again, I find that I have it even better than if I would have plunked it out a billion times.
Right. Repetition or new perspectives,
absolutely,
I think, is really the way to get to it. Really very mature attitude there. So you're a thinking musician in addition to being a hard worker. And you say you're inspired to work hard by your dad.
Yeah, he definitely epitomizes the American dream for me. He grew up in a tavern in Milwaukee, where I come from, that's owned by my grandparents. And he worked tables there, and he got his business degree, and he started selling insurance, and now he has his own business. So he really taught me the power of really hard work ethic, and also that you should never be afraid to ask anybody for any favors, because all they can say is no.
Well, yeah, all we can say is bravo, Emily.
Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful performance. Bravo.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Emily Pogorelz, 17 years old, our soprano from Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.org. Over the last 8 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded nearly $2 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
Now we're going to go from high notes to low notes, from a soprano to a double bassist. I'm going to join Lena Goodson, 16 years old, our bassist from York, Pennsylvania, in Reinhold Glier's Intermezzo. Lena Goodson, 16-year-old contrabassist from New York, Pennsylvania, performing the intermezzo by Reinhold Glier. Such a lovely melody and so beautifully played, Lena. Tell everybody who this piece was written for.
Well, this piece was written by Glier for Serge Koussevitzky, the Russian bass virtuoso and turned conductor of the Boston Symphony.
That's right. You've got such a smile on your face when you say that name. No coincidence, because I hear you have very strong opinions of Mr. Koussevitzky.
Yeah, you know, most girls my age are kind of fangirling over Justin Bieber in One Direction, but I'm kind of have a little infatuation with Mr. Serge here. You know, he was great. He was kind of just a really funny character. He was kind of ruthless. So back when he conducted the Boston Symphony, they didn't have unions back then. So he was known to fire musicians on the spot if they disagreed with him, or like, you know, point musicians out in the orchestra and put them on the spot, which I don't think he could get away with today. Mm-mm. If he was still alive. Yeah. You know, he also, when he conducted, he would wear this like big long cape, and as he walked onto stage, he would have a little assistant follow him, and he would take off his cape and kind of throw it on the assistant. Like, I mean, it's just kind of funny to imagine this guy who like thinks so highly of himself. He has like a cape carrying assistant.
Yes. Note to self. But he had his humane side as well.
Yeah, he was a pretty funny guy. He had like two dogs named Sharp and Flat. You know, so he was I guess a man of many, you know, characters.
And this is cute. When you were little, you used to bring Koussevitzky with you to every recital. I mean, Koussevitzky reincarnated into a different life form.
Yeah, so I have this pillow pet, and it's a cow. So naturally, I named him Moosevitzky, you know, because cows go like, moo. And so when I was 14, I played the Koussevitzky Concerto with two different orchestras, and Moosevitzky had to be there in the front row, you know, just as a good luck piece. But I've older now, so I've kind of weaned off Moosevitzky, but I still have the spirit of Koos in me everywhere.
That's right, absolutely. Well, you know, you have... there's good precedent there. I mean, Rostropovich, when he would rehearse with the National Symphony, had a big white dog that came on stage, a live one, not even a stuffed animal.
Oh, my gosh.
So you couldn't go for that, absolutely. In addition to being the longtime music director of the Boston Symphony, Serge Koussevitzky was indeed a bassist. So I guess they let bassists take a special tour of his former house at Tanglewood, the famous Saranac. And
yeah.
You got to go and check it out. What was it like?
Koussevitzky's summer home was Tanglewood. And this past summer, I attended the Tanglewood Institute. And the owners of Koussevitzky's house were kind enough to let, I guess, the 10 of us, the 10 bass players at the Tanglewood, go and tour his house. So it was a really cool experience, especially, you know, for me, because I kind of like him.
Man.
And so they all his original furniture was there, and even like the stuff in his drawers was left as it was when he passed away. So I mean, one of the coolest things was his wardrobe in his bedroom that had his original white suit in it that his white tux that he would wear when he conducted. And they also had a full-length mirror, so you know, all of us took some selfies in Koussevitzky's mirror, naturally. That's the thing to do. So that was pretty awesome.
That is awesome. Why do all you bassists love your instrument with such passion?
Yeah, bass players, we love our instrument. Well, I play a lot of orchestra music. That's my favorite thing to do, because just being the bottom of the architecture of sound that an orchestra is, it's one of the greatest feelings. And just letting a low one rip is just great. And, you know, to get to the point... bass players are just really chill people in general.
In general, absolutely. Well, on which everything is based. So there you are, Lena. You're doing the bassist community proud. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Bravo. Lena Goodson, 16 years old, our bassist from York, Pennsylvania. Our stage is now happily being invaded by the Rhythm Project All-Stars, a steel drum ensemble composed of talented teenagers from here in Norfolk and surrounding Hampton Roads area. Their director is David Longfellow. At the mics, we have two members of the group, 17-year-old Emily Barrett and 18-year-old Andrew Watkins. Emily, tell us what the Rhythm Project is.
The Rhythm Project is the Virginia Arts Festival's PAN program that serves the underserved communities of Hampton Roads. It's an elementary through high school program that provides kids an opportunity after school to be a part of something.
And Andrew, what about this particular group, the All-Stars? Is that a higher level of commitment?
Yeah, it's pretty high level, but it's also very fun. We'll take trips to other places, like we went to Texas for their pan jam down there that mm-hmm. they have in Kima. Mm-hmm.
We also went to Luray, Virginia, and played on their street fair.
Oh, nice. Emily, I know you regularly go out into schools to mentor young students, and mentorship is also a big deal within the group, yes?
Yeah, mentorship in the group kind of has two forms. We have the mentorship, you know, with the whole, because it's 9th through 12th graders. So the seniors have the responsibilities to teach the younger students how the things work in the group, how to pack the trailer, how to set up the ensemble. But there's also mentorship between the musicians. Some members of the group are more musically inclined, like I'm a classical bassoon player as well as the pan. And so I and the other performers can help the other students that are not as inclined in music and teach them how to read the music, how to do the rhythms, and mentor in that way.
Excellent. I would imagine it's kind of hard to play the steel drum without having a smile on your face.
You have to smile and you have to dance.
Got to move. Got to.
Yeah, absolutely. Andrew, tell everyone what you're going to be performing and who arranged this piece.
I don't know. we'll be playing The Barber of Seville by Rossini, and it was arranged by our director, Dave Longfellow.
All right. An upbeat way to end our show today. I want to thank all of our great young performers, and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Rhythm Project All-Stars, please take it from the top. Thank you.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley and Tim Banker, with music director Tom Vinieri. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Willett, with Dan Hallis and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music.
Support for NPR comes from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. From the Lemelson Foundation, committed to improving lives through invention in the U.S. and developing countries. On the web at lemelson.org. From the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. And from Joyce V. Hale, in the interest of engaging an informed and civil electorate. This is NPR.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org. And now for a little bonus content. My break piece from the show. This is At Dawn by Cyril Scott.